Guess what? What you believe really does matter. I realize that we live in a day of what's referred to as pluralism and ecumenicalism, where people say that there are many paths, that it really doesn't make any difference what you believe. But friend, I'm going to tell you today, from your Word of God, from the copy of the Scriptures in your lap, it makes a difference what you believe. As a matter of fact, the book of John, the Bible part, one of the 66 books that you held up, the book of John is a book about belief and about believing. And I love the way the book ends. These things are written that you might believe in the name of the Son of God. And through believing, you might have life through and as a result of His name. Yesterday, right about this time, I saw a vast number of babies, children, adolescents, and teenagers on a beautiful piece of property that hosts a lodge, 10 cabins, a craft pavilion, a chapel. You know what I understood yesterday? That not one of those parents, not one of those grandparents, not one of the guardians of any of those children who were on those premises would allow any one of their children to take a bottle or a can or a liquid that says on it, harmful if swallowed, and would say to those children, it doesn't make any difference if you drink it or not. Not one of them would do that. And therefore lies the subject matter at hand. It matters what you believe. Can I get an amen? Thank you. I love it. They're listening. What you believe shapes your life. Look at these scriptures. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring forth the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Even this morning, what you believe is going to shape your life. And incidentally, I might suggest to you, and I don't have it on the screen, but you can write it down, Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. What you allow into your belief system is going to make a difference in your life. Now, why does a parent say, I want to know what you're listening to. I want to know what's on your phone. I want to know what you're watching. I want to know the influences that are influencing you. Because what you allow in shapes your life. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 35 and following? He says, what you put in, for out of the abundance or out of the treasure of that heart. And incidentally, he goes on to say in 36 and 37, by every idle word you speak, you'll give an account of it in the day of judgment. By your words, you'll be condemned. And by your words, you'll be justified. So this leads me to say, number one, that what you believe shapes your life. But number two, wrong belief ends up causing us many, many problems in our life. As a matter of fact, these are three wonderful scriptures that teach us that truth. Here's Proverbs 14, 12. Listen to this. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Why does that say a man? Because man is fallible. Because man has faults and man has failures and man comes short of the glory and grace of God. Man is not in a position to give himself direction and guidance. That's what Jeremiah 10:23 says. Oh Lord, Jeremiah said, I know it is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Man needs help. And that comes through the revelation or the inspiration of Scripture. You know, there's an interesting verse in Proverbs 29, verse 18. In some of your versions, it says vision, but in others, it says revelation. I like the word revelation here. Where there is no revelation, the people perish. And what Solomon was saying there hundreds of years ago is, if you and I don't have some direction for our life, if we don't have a built-in belief system, that when the storms of life come to beat on your faith, and they're doing it today, even as I speak, in the subject of relativism and modernism and postmodernism and liberalism and on and on and on, the isms would go. If you don't have a belief system, it's going to beat on your faith and beat you down into the ground till one day you're going to wake up and you're going to say, God, who's that? I have doubts. And my doubts have taken me to basically an atheistic viewpoint. Wrong beliefs cause us many problems. And therefore we should know what we believe and incidentally why we believe it. I want to take you to a scripture in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And I want you to see what the Apostle Peter says to us about what we believe and why we believe it. Powerful scripture, as they all are. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. One of the things that Greg did at the table, good job, brother. He told us why we partake of the Lord's Supper and why we do it as frequently as we do. Because we have a pattern and a blueprint that tells us upon the first day of the week. Why do we pass a collection plate every Sunday? Because we have a pattern and a blueprint. We should know why we believe what we believe. We should be able to defend our faith in God. When somebody walks up to us and tells us, why do you folks believe in water? And we explain to them, we don't believe in water. We believe in the blood of Jesus. And if it takes water, enough water to immerse us and bury us, then that's our understanding from the Scriptures. There's no power in the water. There's nothing in that water that's going to change anybody's life. It's where through faith we come in contact with that blood of Jesus that changes our relationship. We need to be able to defend that. We need to be able to tell people what we believe and why we believe what we believe. Well, that leads me to the second half of our message. What I want to do in the second half is, I don't want to just leave you hanging out there with those three observations about what we believe matters. I want to talk to us about how do I strengthen my belief system. Well, what are some things that I need to do? And I'm going to give you about four things this morning that will help everybody in the room exit this room saying, that's going to help me strengthen my belief system. What's the first one? To know and learn truth. Solomon, many years ago, buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. A lot of people have sold out. But Solomon said, you purchase the truth. When you learn the truth, when you know the truth, hang on to it because it is valuable. It is a valuable commodity. Later on, Jesus said in John 8:32, as a matter of fact, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Who did he say that to? He said that to the unbelieving Jewish people that he was speaking in front of. He says, listen, if you'll just know truth, the truth will free you. You're in bondage to your traditions. You're in bondage to your past. He says, if you know the truth can set you free from your past and from the bondage of your traditions. And he went on to say this about himself, S-O-N, 8:36. If the Son, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It is liberating when we know the truth. I talked to my class last week about an article that came out of Focus Press, their blog, and it talked about how evolutionists do not want to know the truth. And once they do discover it, they will keep it hidden so that their science can continue on in the evolutionary process. It was a discovery that a scientist who was also a Christian had made. Upon his discovery and upon writing about it in a journal, he was immediately let go by his college, his university. They said, "We don't want anybody practicing their religion in this school." Well, folks, he wasn't practicing his religion. He was stating the truth. He was stating the facts. That what people said were millions and millions of years old, as he was talking about the young earth, which you and I are a part of, that he found some soft tissue in a discovery that could not have been millions of years old, but it shows the validity of a young earth. What does that tell us? That tells us Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. That the earth you and I now are in is under 10,000 years old. And more like maybe 8,000 years old. And you can time that back from Adam, back through the generations, and you can figure it out. But a lot of people don't want to know truth. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, Paul told Timothy, "You know, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures." And how blessed Timothy was with a mother and a grandmother who indoctrinated him in the truths of the Word of God. You got to like what Jesus said as he started to pray one of the most famous prayers in all the Bible in John 17. Verse 3, Jesus says, "You need to know the only true God." And that is spelled with a capital G. Because you and I know that there are many, many little g gods that control people's thinking today. It makes a difference what you believe. And learning and knowing the truth will help you in that endeavor. Number two, we got to recognize what's false. You got to like what's found here in 1 John 4 and verse 1, where John wrote to what he referred to as his little children in the faith. He says, "Beloved, do not believe everybody. Don't believe every spirit." He said, "Try the spirits, test the spirits to see whether they really are from God." Because after all, isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 7:15? He says, "Beware of those who come to you so docile and so content and so..." But inwardly, they might be a ravenous wolf who's there to consume you and eat you up and destroy you. And so, this would be incumbent upon every single one of us that we recognize what is false. And then number three, and I think this is an encouragement to us, to turn from the world to the Word. And notice the difference between those two words. Only an L separates it. From the world to the Word. I want to have you turn to a scripture from Solomon again. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 14. Proverbs 15, verse 14. I want you to listen to these words. "The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fools feed on foolishness." You know, you need to write that verse down. When you come across somebody in academia, somebody in high circles, I want you to think back about maybe the most well-known school in the Ivy League, Harvard. Do you know the history of Harvard? Harvard started out training preachers. Now, not a preacher steps foot on that campus. That's exactly what Solomon is talking about in Proverbs 15 and verse 14. And James went on to say this, "Hang on to the Word of God. It's able to save souls." And that's why we turn from the world and its ungodly system that's in place to the Word, where we find truth. And then certainly last but not least, we would encourage folks to make God's will the focus of their life. You know, today, it's very easy to get out of focus. And if you go to an optometrist or an ophthalmologist or whatever the case might be, whatever you need is, they're going to be able to direct you as to your lack of focus and being able to see clearly. If you go work through the right procedures, go through the right tests, we're going to get you either some corrective lenses or some contact lenses or some glasses or a way to help you focus clearly and see clearly. That's what we're encouraging people here to do. If you want to have that right belief system, what we're telling folk to focus on God's will. Back in Luke chapter 12, 29 through 31, it's the same terminology we read in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, "Listen, I'm taking care of the birds in the sky. I'm taking care of the sparrows in the sky. And you see that grass out there? I'm taking care of the grass. And if I'm watching after the birds in the air and the grass in the field, I made you better than the birds in the air and the grass in the field. I made you superior. And if I'm taking care of those, don't you know I'm going to take care of you?" And so that's when he says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so by way of conclusion this morning, here's what I want to say to us. What you believe matters, because what you believe is going to eventually determine your destiny. And I can't help but believe I'm talking to people who want as their eternal destiny heaven. Who want to know when death gets rid of that physical body, that heaven can claim that eternal soul, and we go to that home of the abode where we have lived our whole life to plan for that one happening. Grab your songbook. Thank you for listening so well today. And may God bless the preaching and teaching of His Word. You never know. A heart that's in the room that is ready to turn from the world to the Word. You never know when there's somebody who's saying, "I wish he quit talking so I could repent and be baptized." You never know when there's somebody who's saying, "Man, I wish they'd start singing so I could rededicate my life to Christ." You never know when there's a conflict within and somebody is struggling saying, "I need somebody to pray with me and for me." Let Him have His way with you, Brian, as together we stand and we sing.